Hello, everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is season 5, episode 41, right? Technically, theoretically, Jeff?
Something like that.
Hey, Steph is off this week. She had a family emergency pop up today, so she will not be on this week's episode. Hopefully, she will be back next week. Joining us this week, of course, is a guest we've had on the program before. His name is Josh Warren. Now, I have to follow professional protocol and explain why you're on the show today. Action Show Studios has announced its groundbreaking new project, Action Show Spooktacular, which is a horror comedy anthology premiering on YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook this month. The Action Show Spooktacular will feature 12 hair-raising short stories filled with dark humor, hosted by Shane Morton, who we've had on the program before, as Professor Mort. Master of Evil. Is it Mort or Morte?
Morte.
Morte, Master of Evil. The anthology will feature two stories by actor Dan Fogler. You've seen him in Fantastic Beasts and The Walking Dead. And 10 short stories written by local Atlanta writers. Stories include Eyes on the Hill, Cursed Webcam, Servant Slash, Gym Rat, Pigeons, and many more. Josh, welcome to the show.
Hello. Hello. Good to see you guys. Used to not being able to see you guys and just being over the airwaves.
Yes. And
the old fashioned way.
I don't think I've seen you in person since February or March, right? When we met at the office.
Yeah. It's been quite a while.
It's been a fucked up year, but now that Trump is better and all cured and everything, we should be able to roll his antibodies out to everybody by the end of the month.
I'm just
turns out he had the Covfefe instead of COVID.
What?
He had Covfefe 19, not COVID-19.
Covfefe 19.
Yeah, it's you can get it through Twitter.
Covfefe 19. Like I went to school, I went to COVID school.
That's what he said. Meanwhile, Joe Biden today. This is what Joe Biden said today. Hey, the reason my wife and I are staying down sequestered is because a black woman got her groceries for us. Something like
Come
that.
Come on, man.
How was Jim Carrey's impression? I didn't watch Saturday Night Live. Anybody see it?
I didn't watch that.
It was okay. Not great.
Yeah.
I think Jason Sudeikis did it better.
Yeah, Jason Sudeikis really projected and got that whole Delaware Eastern Central New York, whatever you, or Pennsylvania, whatever you want to, that Scranton sound.
He had those fake teeth too that he used.
Who did?
Sudeikis had those shiny, pearly whites that he would put in to do Joe Biden.
Hey, you're really bassy. Is there something you can adjust on your microphone?
Bass.
Mr. Darth Vader there, or no?
I don't know.
Hey, just try breathing for us. What does that sound like?
So, Josh, tell us about the Spook Show Spooktacular.
Well, it's a horror comedy anthology, mm-hmm. which one of my favorite genres of my entire life has been horror comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge Evil Dead head. So I've always just wanted to.
You guys keep going. I'm going to restart.
Okay.
I've always wanted to do horror, comedy, action, all that type of stuff. And we wanted an opportunity to try to do something highly produced in this crazy era that we live in, because I refuse to let it all become Zoomtainment.
Mm-hmm. Zoomotainment.
Yeah. So we worked with a group called Media Team, which are also located in Encyclomedia. Mm-hmm. They're also a local production company, and they've done a plethora of great work. They're just really cool dudes. Shane Morton, who is Silver Scream FX Lab,
Tell us some of the stuff that he's worked on that people would know. He's been on our show before, but I don't remember what episode, so if you didn't get it, what does he do? Like, what are some of the big shows he's been on?
Well, he did the entire design for Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell.
That's right.
Adult Swim, and he worked on Halloween 2, the recent Halloween 2.
Is that a Rob Zombie or is, no? That's the second round of sequels or the third round of sequels, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure it was the zombie one. That,
okay.
Or I thought it was the most recent one. I don't know. I get lost in all the Halloweens, especially after the original one. You can't beat the original. There's nothing better than the original Halloween.
No, not at all. The John Carpenter OG Halloween, the first movie I ever saw with boobs in it, or something like
that. He did everything. He created the Scream Queen. He created his own music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Carpenter's amazing. But, you know, Shane's a huge fan of Carpenter. He's a huge fan of, like, Ray Harryhausen, mm-hmm. which I'm also, like, a big fan of his. So we've, for, like, the last 10 years, Shane does, like, all the makeup for, like, Turner Original commercials and Adult Swim commercials.
And does Your Pretty Faces Going to Hell also.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So he and I, first met doing like me acting in Adult Swim commercials and I'm doing my makeup and, he made me Muscle Man from the regular show. but we've always wanted to do something together and we're finally just like, are you sick of this pandemic? I'm not getting any work. Are you getting any work? And so we both just decided to go back to work and then roped a lot of people along with us. We're one of the goals was to bring Atlanta creatives together. So we've got a huge pool of writers and Atlanta actors and directors and crew members that have all been working on this project.
How difficult was it to shoot in this era?
They don't make it easy. I'll tell you that's for sure. Mm-hmm. We hired a COVID-19 officer, so we did it all under COVID guidelines.
What's a COVID-19 officer?
So you have to go to this like the seminar that's led by these LA type of folks. And being entertainment people, so there's no questions about it. Right. But they basically sit you through like a 2-hour seminar. It's like kind of becoming a bounty hunter. You have to go to these like day long
Mandalorian.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And they tell you things like you have to provide the masks. People don't need to bring their own masks. You provide the masks for them because it's all about looking the same. We all have to look the same. And things like the masks are about respect, so make sure you enforce the masks. So, like, the whole time on set, the COVID officer's like, all right, masks, everybody, masks. It seems to be like... he comes by and gives you hand sanitizer. So it's very clean. There's no germs going around there.
And you have to pay this guy or is he somebody that works for free, like a volunteer?
I mean, it really depends on the person. Mm-hmm. But like, supposedly the going rate for these people is like like a station head or whatever. So like a DP and a COVID officer in theory should be paid the same thing.
Wow.
Because those COVID officers, Tim, they're putting their life on the line for you and me.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can get high quality entertainment like the entertainment that Action Show Studios is going to give you. High quality. Cigar smoking entertainment.
Jeff, you got any questions?
Did you say when they're going to start dropping on YouTube?
So we're going to drop the whole thing initially as an anthology. I don't know if you guys saw the Joe Pettis 420 Holiday Variety special.
Not yet.
That was an hour and a half long that we put out last Christmas. If you can make it through it, I'll love you forever. And not to say that it's not good. It's just like people's attention spans these days are so short. But
keeping it tight.
What did you say?
I said, got to keep it at 10 seconds. Keep their attention.
Yeah. It's all got to be.
No, I'm sure the millennials.
Got to be boomerangs.
The millennials appreciate you dropping it all at once. They were pissed about having to wait a week to watch the next Boys episode.
Oh, shit.
Oh, God. Yeah, I want to talk about the Boys. I'm like halfway through season two. As you know, I have no attention span myself, so I can't even stay on topic.
Do you look at your phone when you're watching television?
Sometimes.
Yeah, that's a problem I have. Let me check Twitter for no fucking reason. Oh.
Yeah, and then you're like, oh, God, now I got to rewind it.
Yep.
And then it happens again.
Yeah.
I've gotten to where I have to have the subtitles on the screen, especially like with British people, because I can't understand English, apparently.
You can't understand their horrible brand of English. So there's what? There's 12 or 10? 10 episodes or 12?
Well, there's going to be 12 different stories. And we're going to have like fake commercials. Like part of our appeal is that we love making like fake television.
Mm-hmm.
So like one of the things we're trying to do is just infuse more fake commercials and brandings. Like we're wanting to start our own streaming service called Ass Plus.
Yeah.
Like that. Stands for Action Show Studios Streaming Services Plus. And just get a bunch of like different content creators to upload things and try to make
it. Yeah, I mean, you could get an app going and then just get a bunch of people signing up and just get it started. I like that. That's a great idea. I hope you have a lot of luck at that, because there is really, I don't know, there's not enough for me to watch. I just started to try to get back into watching TV, and I'm like, well, what am I going to watch now? But I don't know. I binged more in the last 2 weeks than I have, I think, since the pandemic began. But I'm just, you know, just sitting there watching TV. So this is the perfect thing. I want to watch all of them at one time.
Yeah, and so they're going to be like, they can live alone, or they're going to be, or they could be tied together, which is what we're going to do. And so Professor Morte is kind of like the glue that holds the whole narrative together.
See, like a crypt keeper or like Sterling type to guide you in and out of the different episodes.
Yeah. It's kind of like a messed up Saturday morning, like old Saturday morning show. Mm-hmm. Like I'm in this weird, I just did this ClickSport-1 thing with Twitter, and like, it's like advertainment at its best. Like each episode was a commercial for a video game,
mm-hmm.
and like an hour and a half long. And like, it was like Power Rangers / Saturday morning cartoons. So I'm in this like place where it's like, I don't ever want to grow up now. I just want to go back. Let's go back to the way things were when they sold us crap like G.I. Joe just to get their figurines sold.
I'm old enough to have been through both levels of G.I. Joe. Jeff too, but maybe he didn't. I bought the 4-inch ones, and then when I was a kid, I had the big ones that were dolls.
Yeah, I remember those.
My granddaddy said, why are you getting that boy dolls? Boys don't play with dolls.
It's an action doll.
It has a beard. Grandpa, look at the beard. And then you get them in the bathtub and you shave their hair off. What did Jeff bit his Spock? You bit somebody's nose off, didn't you?
I had all the Mego Star Trek dolls that if I would have kept them in the box and left them alone, they would be worth a fortune. But I took them all out and chewed all the noses off.
Recently?
Yeah, last month.
When I was a kid. And last week, just for fun.
Jeff had an original phaser, too. And one time, William Shatner came on to the Regular Guys show. And I'm letting Jeff said, hey, see if he'll sign this. And he walks in and I have this, it's obviously the old school toy. And I went, Mr. Shatner, would you? And he just looked at me and went, oh, no. And then that was it.
No. Yeah, Shatner and Vogler had a big Twitter rivalry for a while. Like,
what were they fighting?
4 or 5 years ago. And like Dan was heartbroken. Because like William Shatner's one of his heroes.
Was he insulting him or something? Because he's pretty I don't know what you'd call it. He just says what he wants on Twitter. He didn't give a shit.
Yeah, yeah.
His feelings.
And so, like, he just was, like, laying into Dan, calling him glitter booger and stuff like that. Like
glitter booger?
Yeah.
Where'd that come from?
Comparing him to, like, the guy from Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, 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 okay.
And so, like, Dan was just like, what's going on, Captain? Like, I love you, man. Why do you keep insulting me?
Did they work together? How did they get into that spat?
I don't know. I think it had something to do with fanboys. Mm. But, yeah, I have no idea. I can't remember exactly what happened. I just remember because Dan came and did one of our shows when I did Captain's Log, which is like a Star Trek improv show, and read like the tweets from him, and I read the tweets from Shatner.
That's great.
And so we did this like back and forth reading these tweets on stage.
So as far as Dan is concerned, is he appearing in any of these episodes, or did he write a couple of them?
No, he gave me the basic stories, and then I wrote one of them, and then one of my writing partners, Sil Turner, wrote the other one. And then we had like our buddy Matt Bruggeman, who was head writer, and Ravi Kash Sayani, who is our showrunner, and we all just kind of collaborated it.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
And then the Pigeons one we worked with. I wrote that one, and we worked with Media Team to produce it. It's all shot on an Alexa RE Mini.
What is that episode about? Besides pigeons,
so they're pigeons from hell. So it's basically like these CKY type guys are like those the jackass dudes.
Yeah.
So we made our unfake jackass where it's like, all right, so I'm Joshie Lilburn, and we just got done beating up so-and-so's dad. Yeah, now we're going to go blow up some pigeons. And so, like, we do this, like, walk and talk on, like how the best method to blow up pigeons, everybody knows, is Alka-Seltzer and bread. You just mix the bread and the Alka-Seltzer, and the pigeons' tiny stomachs can't handle it, so they expand, and boom, pigeon-sized explosion. So we go into this place looking for pigeons, and we find, like, these demonic haunted pigeons that Shane made. So we have all these, like, these pigeon puppets. And they can use their, you know, pigeon puppet magic to inflict unthinkable pain on people.
Nice.
Do you think that you're going to you'd said earlier that you want to start your own kind of streaming thing for creators. Is this something that you're anticipating maybe, or hoping maybe, that somebody like Shudder comes along and says, hey, this is really good. We want to put it on our platform.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, I mean, part of doing it like as a 90-minute anthology is the hopes that we could take it and pitch it as like pitch it to someplace like Shudder or Amazon or Netflix or whoever.
Those like, have a tendency to catch fire. Do you remember VHS?
Yeah.
Like a portion of that was shot here, and it looked like it, I mean, the production value was pretty good, but it looked like it had a, you know, relatively limited budget, and it ended up doing very, very well. So
pretty sure Dan Bush worked on VHS. Yeah. So like it's that, Hope, like, I don't know if you're familiar with Asylum films or not.
Mm-mm. Are you
guys? Yeah, I've heard of them.
Yeah, they did like Sharknado, right?
Right.
Okay.
So they're known for like Mockbuster Pictures, but if you go down like their YouTube page of trailers and like see where they began to kind of where they are now and making terrible films. Like, that's what I want to give, is another version of, like, the Southeast version of Asylum. Like, at the end of the day, I want Action Show Studios to be like a B-movie studio that we can, you know, for the most part, produce like Atlanta talent.
If Bucci Takar can get picked up by Amazon, you guys can.
Yeah, I don't even know what Bucci Takar is.
That got picked up by Amazon? Bucci? Yeah. When?
Well, after he had it on YouTube.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Benny Bucci was a regular guy's intern a long time ago. And he's an interesting cat. He's a comedian, and he's always, you know, doing something to promote himself. So we worked with some director at Adult Swim, and he ate a car, medically supervised. He put it in capsules and ate portions of the car, and then they passed through his body.
All right. They made a documentary about it, and it was on Adult Swim, and then they put it on YouTube, and then I saw a couple weeks ago they said it was picked up by Amazon.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That might be the best story I've heard all day today.
Well, here, let me pitch you a story for the future. Something involving Stone Mountain and like a secret cave these kids fall in, and then they unleash the zombie clan, and then the whole movie is just people killing the zombie clan. I don't know. Keeping it genre specific and keeping it area specific, you know, there's a plenty of places you could do that and just make fun of all those old Southern tropes that no longer really exist. I think it'd be funny.
Yeah, I love that.
Ignore my ideas. That's probably not a good idea. I realized as I was saying it, nah, it's probably not a good idea.
But at the same point in time, like, why can't you make fun of them?
You can. You can make fun of them.
But like they took it out of Red Dead Redemption.
They did?
That's what I heard. They took that whole portion out when like their whole thing was making them look stupid. Right. And then you get to like brutally kill them. Drag them from horses.
All right, I did see scenes on YouTube of that where the guy took the clan guy and fed him to an alligator.
Yeah.
Or set him on fire. That's funny. You should leave that shit in there so you could just torture those people.
So like, there's a part where you're like wandering around, right? They have all these like, because like anything can happen. It's this great vast expanse. Mm-hmm. And so like you're wandering through the woods and it's at night, and all of a sudden you come up on the horrific sight of a cross being burned.
Yes.
And these guys like going to set it on fire. Well, then the cross snaps. Lands, catches like four of them on fire.
Yeah.
You're like, oh man, we got it. Oh shit, man.
Yeah, that's
funny. You go in there and you're like, what's wrong with that?
Like the scene in Django Unchained where they're burning the cart and they all fuck up, and that's just to make them look like fools. That's what they are. And Mel Brooks did that in what, 19, whenever Blazing Saddles came out, he was one of the first to make them look foolish. So. That's you know, they don't need any help in that regard, but shit, it exists. You might as well make fun of it. That's like Call of Duty. Right. We're going to make Call of Duty Europe World War II, but instead of Germans, we're going to have clowns.
Yeah, I'd play that, man.
That would be funny. Not
you just go around and kill them.
Honk, honk, honk.
Like, what was with that clown thing?
What clown thing?
Where, like, people would, like, dress up like a clown and, like, just go hide in the woods on the outskirts of a neighborhood, like, wave to people.
Oh, you'd like, see the slow motion videos? Yeah, Jeff stopped doing it. I don't know what happened, but I think some father came out and threatened to shoot him or something.
Yeah, it got boring after a while.
Yeah. So you're working on that, and that's ready to go. You're also working on another project right now called The Campaign. And we talked about that before. I actually did a read through one morning with some of the cast. It was a lot of fun. And how is that going? Because I know you've had a lot of setbacks production wise.
So we just filmed part of episode 3, which like this episode was supposed to take place at the Renaissance Fair where we shot episode 2, and we're supposed to shoot some things beyond. But because of the pandemic,
leg from China,
the China virus, we had to shut down production. But production's coming back. It's coming back, and we're bringing it back. Good. And we're bringing it back strong.
It'll be so much production, you won't know what to do. It'll be everywhere. Production, nothing but production.
We've got multiple projects coming out all at one time. And so uh, it it got pushed back due to COVID. And
hey, look, pal, we got a lot of shit going on too. Look, we got a corn pop documentary working on a corn. Hey, look, hey, man, you want to go hang out? Look, folks. Okay.
Where am I?
Yeah. So we got pushed back due to COVID, and the Renaissance Fair, you know, can't within their right or whatever. They've shut down completely.
I heard they were turkey legs and hand sanitizer.
Yeah, turkey legs based in hand sanitizer. Mm-hmm. So, and then, you know, you have to have a COVID officer now, and everybody's got to make sure that they're safe on set.
So weird.
Which I'm making light out of it, but, like, you know, it's terrible that we're in this situation that we're in.
That doesn't mean you can't laugh. I mean, we're not supposed to sit at home under our beds. You know?
I wonder how you get this gig as the COVID officer.
Yeah.
You got to take the class. You got to take the class and have them yell at you about COVID, and then you're good to go.
You can just walk around in a mask all day handing out hand sanitizer.
Like half the time, the difficult thing about shooting is, like, the whole crew's in a mask. The actors aren't because, you know, they don't have to be because you can't get COVID if you're acting on a set.
Right. Or protest. If you're at a set protesting the thing that's being made, you can't catch it.
Right.
Also, you can't catch it if you're screaming at people at the state house because you don't want to wear one.
Right,
all these things keep you from getting at it.
Yeah, I mean, we figured it out.
Yeah.
Somebody told me on another set, they were like, man, Atlanta figured it out. Somehow they figured it out. You just can't get COVID there, I guess.
No. Or playing football.
Yeah. Definitely playing football for the Washington football team.
Yes. So when do you think, though, that you'll be finished shooting Action Show? I'm sorry. When do you think you'll be finished shooting the campaign?
I mean, so we just, the other difficult thing about that is like, we're shooting it all, like, we raised 10 grand for it, but then we're trying to spread 10 grand over 10 episodes. I don't know if I should be saying all this.
Can stop.
But, like, that's the truth, you know, like, and so it's like everybody's working on a volunteer basis, basically, except for, like, resources for things like makeup and costumes and things like that. And then we've got a lot of awesome people that are just giving, like, in my opinion, way too much, and I'll take it. And it's awesome. And thank you. But, like, this great dude, Alan Cassidy, let us go shoot on his property where he built, like, a medieval market, and then had his whole family come out to be extras because his whole family is like a Renaissance Fair family.
That's cool.
And
it's like we have our own Spawn Ranch.
Like, the dude was like a military police. He was a former sheriff, and now he cosplays as Tywin Lannister. That's cool. And he, like, makes all of his own stuff. Mm. And so he built this whole area for us. So we shot on a set that was, like, built by this guy by hand for free to us. And
that's really cool.
Then, like, brought his whole family in to be extras. And so, like, the scope of the project, it's a difficult project, especially when you don't have any money, because it's like we're trying to do this thing inside of, like, a fantasy world that, like, Game of Thrones on, like, a dollar a day budget.
Right.
And it's really fun. And watching the, like, progression of the actors and things like that since the beginning to now, and how comfortable they're getting with their characters is really exciting. So now the next steps for me are kind of like, all right, well, let's keep going as far as we can the way that we're going. But at some point, let's stop and see if we can't, like, fundraise or something. And I don't know how people do it. Jeff, Tim.
Hey, I don't, producer.
I am the producer.
You have to email Beg or put a GoFundMe or whatever those things are called. Put one of those up.
Yeah, I mean that's probably what we'll do. That's what we did the first time. But like it looks amazing. This dude had like,
what is that? It's like a box.
There's a, it's like a magical box and like a gnome behind it.
Yeah.
This is Matt.
I like that.
He's the creator of the show, and we put him in a bunch of different prosthetics and have him play like all these different like I'm trying to figure out the correct wording for it, but they're like characters within the world that give you your quest to go on in Dungeons and Dragons. And I've never played Dungeons and Dragons. So.
You never played Dungeons and Dragons?
No, when I was growing up, I wasn't allowed to, for one.
Really? Are you a Seventh-day Adventist or something?
No, we were just non-denominational Christians, but my parents were like, that Dungeons and Dragons is satanic.
What, Jeff?
Satanic.
Yeah, Jeff and I got in a fight once, and then our scoutmaster blamed it on Dungeons and Dragons. Because he had killed me in Dungeons and Dragons, his character, and they weren't allowed to, they wouldn't let their kids play it, and we weren't supposed to play it at scout camp, but we would go off into a rec center and play, and that happened, and then the guy blamed it on, of course, the game. That's why we got in a fight. Not that we were friends and fought all the time.
But yeah, it's obviously Satanism.
It is. Jeff's still satanic because of that.
Yeah.
Then I figured out what Dungeons and Dragons was, but I wasn't really into like fantasy stuff until I saw the South Park episode of the Game of Thrones South Park.
Oh, that was great.
Like I saw Legend as a kid and stuff. That's like that. Fingers.
Legend was great. Yeah. But Dungeons and Dragons was so elaborate and fun to play in the '80s and in the '90s because, you know, it took effort. Somebody actually had to have a brain and think of a story. And then you had dice and graphs and you had to create a character and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's improv. That's,
yeah,
that's,
really. Yeah, you're right. It is. Exactly, if you didn't have a good dungeon master, the game sucked. You know what I mean? If you had somebody that was adult. Like I played with a guy in college, and every time I was in the middle of battle, the guy either chopped or bit my dick off, and I had to sit out like three rolls.
Well, so Matt is the dungeon master in his Dungeons and Dragons like world that he plays with Dungeons and Dragons. He does a Dungeons and Dragons D&D show called Funyuns and Flagons, and it was really good. I watched it and I couldn't believe like how many people like. So he did it at this con that we showed the campaign at, and like all these people are like sitting at the edge of their seats. I've been doing improv for 20 years.
Yeah,
and like I'm standing in this audience, and I was like, granted, it's a con audience, so they're all dressed like elves and goblins and things along those lines. But they're sitting on the edge of their seats watching the show, and I'm like, how are they so captivated by it? And then they like knew, like, because they had done the show like three times, so like the people at this con started following it.
Yeah.
And then like by the third day, they like knew who everybody was. Julie, my girlfriend, and I would like give suggestions, and the audience would like look over at us and be like, "No." And so that was hilarious to me. But they like loved it. So like by the end of it, and all my actors for the campaign are the guys that are doing this Funyuns and Flagons show. By the end of it, like, those dudes were rock stars at this this Harry Potter convention.
That's really
cool. It was one of the most amazing things I'd ever seen in my life.
All right. So when will the spook... All right. Let me see if I get this right. Sorry. I got to look at the sheet. I'm trying to remember it off the top of my head. You think I'd be able to do that, but I can't. But I'm going to look at it right now. Okay, what is it? What's it called?
I'm sorry. Halloween Spooktacular.
Yes, but it's Spooktacular, spectacular, right?
The action show, spook show, spooktacular.
All right, thank you, thank you. Sorry.
Spook. No, don't apologize. The name's meant to be ridiculously long. So we're hoping October 15th.
All right, that's target date.
That's the target date, but we've run into a couple of snags in the production that are slowing us down a little bit. So if I'm saying it'll hopefully be October 15th, it'll probably be October 15th because the whole next week I probably just won't rest and we'll get the whole thing done.
Right.
But we still have like a couple pickups to shoot and we're still in like post on all of the stories. So hopefully mid to late October.
Tell everybody where they can find Action Show Studios on social media and the web.
You can find it at Action Show Studios on Instagram and Facebook and Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at Action Studs on Twitter because we couldn't fit Studios in the whole title.
Okay.
But either way, it's still ass, no matter which way you look at it.
I love that. I love ass. I
mean, Ass Studs.
Action Show Studios. Yeah, of course, ass. And then be on the lookout for Ass Plus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Coming to the App Store. Ass Plus. Yeah,
coming to the Ass Store. Only on Ass Plus.
All right, so go ahead, Jeff.
Has there been any rumblings about Righteous Gemstones when they might start back up?
I have no idea when they're starting back. I just started getting auditions though for projects. So
right.
Hopefully, like they originally they were like, my agent was like, you know, they might bring you back. This could be recurring. So for me, the whole thing is,
yeah,
it will be recurring, but we'll see. I have no idea.
What is back that you know of? Anything? Any major?
Walking Dead just started back.
What did?
Walking Dead.
So they're shooting
production. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I know Fantastic Beasts just started back.
And that's Dan, and he's in England, right?
London. Yeah, yeah. And then because we just did the Click Sport One thing together, and he had to. We had to make sure we got all of his stuff done before. Fantastic Beasts started back.
Well, what are you getting auditions for? Anything cool?
Shows. I'm not really allowed to say what shows they are sometimes. But they're still like just trickling in, which is a lot of why it's like, all right, let's just do our own thing. Cause like, so with the COVID thing, supposedly you're supposed to have one COVID officer per 25 people.
Wow.
And so like for these like big sets, you know, you're talking about like an army of like 50 COVID people being like,
hand sanitizer, sir, mask, sir.
The good thing is if you have sex scenes, you could just use a doll.
Yeah.
The same doll, never cleaned, just the same one. Check the wig, change the wig, go at it. The doll. All right. So you didn't, speaking of the pandemic, Josh, you have yet to see the South Park pandemic, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I haven't. So
we don't want to spoil it for you, but it was very, very funny and kind of a return to the old kind of South Park episode that that everybody was used to before they went into the
series or whatever.
Yeah, the continuity thing every week. They you know, like a real serial. Jeff, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
If you guys want, I can mute you and you can talk freely about it.
No. We won't get into
it. We won't spoil it for you.
We got other stuff to talk about too, but it's one of those episodes where Randy was, of course, the main character, and that's been the case for a couple seasons now. But
I love Randy.
I love Randy too. But this episode is like an old episode where every kid has a storyline. You know, the boys are involved in the story, And they bring back a couple of people from the past that were big characters. And like I said, we won't spoil it for you. But it was very funny and very well done. And does this mean there's not going to be a season that you know of, Jeff? Or they just
this serves as like the season premiere, but the rest of the show is not coming back till later.
All right, but later
here.
I've been wanting the show to come back so badly just to see their social commentary on this.
I haven't
had any time to watch it yet.
You got to carve some time. It was very even-handed. They didn't, you know, no one was spared any of their satire. And, you know, that's the best kind of satire. They didn't pull for anybody. We all know that. But then it gave them the best ratings that they've had in 7 years. So, I don't know. I really thought it was pretty, pretty entertaining. And it was shocking, but I laughed at the shocking parts. And, so a couple other things in the news. Cobra Kai renewed for season 4. I still haven't watched season 3. Is that up yet?
Oh, season 3 doesn't come out till 2021.
Oh, shit.
I'm all caught up on Cobra Kai if you guys want to talk about that.
About that ending?
Yeah.
I love Cobra Kai. I just watched it and binged the whole thing. My girlfriend loved it. I loved it. I like it for way different reasons, which are probably, I assume, reasons that you guys liked it too.
Uh-huh.
Was just that, like, they speak so freely.
Yeah.
Like, I love Johnny Lawrence.
Right.
I love that he makes fun of people. I love that, like, everybody gets a trophy, was broken.
Yep.
Like, this show is amazing. This show is...
Yeah, he's an old school bully, but it shows you that shit worked on a lot of people. Like,
that scene where he was like, girls can't join Cobra Kai. They've got hollow bones. Like... I love it. It's hilarious. What do you mean? What do you mean they bully you anonymously? Back in my day, we were mad enough to bully you to your face. Like it's so good.
I loved it when Daniel and Johnny got into it though. Finally, in season 2, where they
fought. People haven't seen it yet.
No, but finally they get back to fighting each other.
Is it like that scene in Rocky 3 at the end? Ding, ding.
No.
Oh.
So you haven't finished season 2 yet?
No, so don't spoil it.
Oh, my God. Tim.
See?
You've got to watch it. It's amazing.
It's on Netflix now, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Not YouTube.
I didn't watch it because it was on YouTube Red or whatever.
I watched season 1 on YouTube, and then season 2 I watched on DVD, and then I watched it all again on Netflix.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So another thing that Josh will be joining us with that we're going to record after the show tonight is our new feature for Patreon members. And Jeff, that is called?
The table recast.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And the video is produced each and every week, just like our regular YouTube video by Dustin Lawler. And we are doing this week a scene from Interview with a Vampire. The classic movie with Tom Cruise and
I like that Dustin Lawler.
Yeah, he's a good dude, man. And
he shares my stuff. I love that guy.
He's really good with the videos too. And this thing that we're doing is Patreon only. So to become a member, you just go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. The last one we did was a lot of fun with the chicken lady from Kids in the Hall reading the Glenn Close lines from Fatal Attraction. It was called Foul Attraction. So you could see that. It's already up there. And this one is going to be Interview with a Vampire. And I'm going to do George Bush. And Josh is going to do Sean Connery. And so we'll, if you want to see that, it'll be available hopefully by the
end. Bush Interview with a Bondpire?
Yeah, something like that. Jeff will come up with a clever name.
Now's the time we thank all of our Radio Labyrinth producers. Producer is a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member who donates $25 a month or more to our podcast. So, without further ado, thank you, Chad Shepard, who is also a sponsor, who comes in at the $50 mark, and we appreciate it very, very much. Chad has been a member since October 6th, 2017, and we love you for it. Also, thank you to Brian Smith, Eric Malmstrom. Eric has been with us for almost 4 years. John Sutherland, member since 2018. Keith Tate, since October 14th, 2016. Matt Carter, since November 12, 2016. Mike D, since August 1st, 2018. Sean Hall, since April 22nd, 2018. Todd Ellis, a member since January 19th, 2020. He's the youngest one. And last but not least, Emily Warren, who joined up on May 19th, 2018. Thank you to each and every one of you so very much.
But we've been doing this thing every week for the last couple of weeks. So 2 weeks, this will be the third one, Josh, that we call, that I call Rad Libs. And it's basically, you remember Mad Libs?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I take a movie synopsis and I do the Redbox troll, the new Redbox troll, who's more like this. He sounds a lot like actor James Mason from the movie Lolita, which is a very good film, if not a tad too long. So, Josh, would you like to play? I will ask you for a noun or an adverb, and then you'll alternate with Jeff, and when you're finished, I will read it with the words that you've supplied me, replacing the words in the original synopsis. Does that sound interesting?
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you do Mad Libs when you were kids?
Interesting.
Did you ever do Mad Libs?
I mean, I did improv. Isn't that kind of like Mad Libs?
Well, sort of, but it's a little book that you take out on a camp out.
It's Mad Libs or maybe a little bit before your time, but yes. Well, just make it as filthy as possible. That's the...
Well, or smart, no. Jeff, I'm going to start with you. Name an American city, please.
Atlanta.
Now, Josh, a traditional woman's occupation.
A housewife.
Yes. Jeff, an amount of money.
$1 billion.
Josh, I need an occupation.
Doctor.
Oh, yes. Jeffrey, verb, please.
Run.
Run, okay. Josh, please give me a mammal.
I'm sorry. What?
A mammal.
A Siberian husky.
Oh, yes. Jeff, I need an emotion.
Sad.
Oh. Josh, an adjective.
Remember what an adjective is.
It's a word that describes a noun.
Which a noun is a person, place, or thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Bustling.
Bustling. Yes, wonderful. Jeff, noun, please.
Tree.
Josh, noun, which is a person.
A veterinarian's office.
That's a little too extravagant for this one. Just a quick verb.
A
noun, I'm sorry.
A street.
There you go. Jeffrey, verb. I know these are boring. We'll get to some other types.
Screw.
Josh, adjective, please.
Adjective?
Yeah.
Quick.
Yes. Jeff, type of building.
Office.
Okay. Josh, adjective. Getting all the tough ones.
Yeah, I am.
Smelly. Stupid.
Yeah, how stupid. Stupid will work.
Stupid. Jeff, noun.
Dildo.
Guess what, Josh? Adjective.
Sparkly.
Jeff, adjective.
Purple.
Josh, a hobby that someone might have.
Improv.
Okay. And Jeffrey, finally, a relative.
Aunt Phyllis.
She's in it every week, isn't she? She got fucked pretty hard last week. Okay, so I will now read the movie synopsis with your rad libs in place of the words that were there originally. You should be able to guess this one relatively quickly. This is a horror movie, and here we go.
Atlanta housewife Marion Crane on the lam after stealing $1 billion from her doctor in order to run away with her Siberian husky Sam is overcome by sadness during a bustling tree storm. Traveling on the back roads to avoid the street, she screws for the night at the Quick Bates office and meets the stupid but highly strung dildo Norman Bates, a sparkly man with an interest in improv and a purple relationship with his Aunt Phyllis. And there's your Aunt Bib.
Aunt Phyllis made him kill all those people.
Great.
And he dresses up like Aunt Phyllis and hangs out in this house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll do an improv shows.
And that's Psycho. Psycho, the classic movie Psycho. Thank you very much.
Yay. Okay.
Oh, wow.
All right. So what else do we got to do? Now, Jeff and I watched, you probably didn't watch this one, Raised by Wolves on HBO Max.
No, I don't even know.
Check it out, though. It's real good.
Yeah, it's a kind of...
It's a Mowgli story?
No. No. Mogwai. No, Mowgli. Yeah, that's right. What was that show on in the 70s? Lucan. That guy was raised by wolves. Lucan. No, it's a show about humans and they colonize another planet. It's Ridley Scott type stuff. So, you know, it's all
awesome.
It's really good. Slow paced at the beginning, but with a really interesting ending, which we will talk about next week. When
say it was fishy.
Yes, it was very, very fishy. Very fishy.
What's the name of this? Raised by Wolves?
By Wolves, yep.
Yeah, it's on HBO Max.
And it's like a Ridley Scott science.
Ridley Scott directed the first two and is the executive producer, and his son directed a bunch of the episodes.
Right. Yeah, it's really well done.
What's his son's name?
Luke.
Phyllis.
His dad's name's Ridley, and he just names his son Luke.
Yep.
Luke. Well, he's a big Star Wars fan, isn't he? Or
But Ridley's like a really like kind of interesting name.
Right, Ridley Scott. Well, where is he from? Is he from England? Are his parents from out of the country or something?
I don't know.
You would have thought that he would have named his kid something like
Mitch?
Yeah, like Mitch, a little more interesting.
Mitch is more interesting than Bill.
Did you watch Fargo? Do you watch that show?
I haven't seen Fargo, so
I've only watched the first episode of season 4. It's pretty interesting. Well, it's because I've been busy, but I watched the first episode, which seems to me to be a lot of setup for the rest of the series. So I know that I'm 3 behind now, and I will be caught up by that. How about The Boys? You watched
OnlyFans showed up this week on Fargo.
Yes.
Timothy OnlyFans.
I saw that on Twitter, and then I quickly scrolled away from it because I don't want it spoiled. You watch The Boys, Josh, every week? Are you caught up on that?
I'm not caught up, but halfway. I'm like halfway there. I've seen up to like episode 4, I think, of season 2.
Yeah, so there's what, 7 so far?
7 so far.
Yeah.
One more to go.
This is really, really good episode, and this most recent one. And I found it to be a blast. But the one show that I don't know if you've seen it or not, but the show that I really thought I wouldn't like and I was pleasantly surprised was Utopia. I found Utopia to have all the things I really like, conspiracies, comic books, nerds, and a really awful villain that everybody can hate, and then a villain who does a good turn. I really enjoyed it.
Shocking shit, too.
Yeah, it is really, really violent. I had no fucking idea that Utopia was going to be as crazy and as violent as it was, but... You know, John Cusack's really, really good in it. Rainn Wilson's in it. He's fantastic. Everybody in it is really, really good. So if you get an opportunity to check out Utopia, you should totally check out Utopia.
I finished it, and then I'm starting to watch the British version.
Yeah, where
is it about a Utopia?
Well, no, the name of the
comic book. Utopia is the name of the comic book, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a lot of conspiracy interwoven with you know, like pandemics, and it's kind of bizarre. Now, where do you watch the British version? I want to watch it.
I stole it, but I don't know if it's streaming anywhere. It might be legally streaming someplace.
So, like, all the things happening here, the show just happened to predict everything in 2020. Is that what you're saying?
There's a big disclaimer at the beginning of every episode saying that it was
right?
Before the real pandemic.
Yeah, it had
similarities between anything and the actual pandemic.
But it's a fun cast, and John Cusack is one of those guys for me now that's either hit or miss, and this was definitely a hit. I haven't watched much anything else. I watched, I pretty much covered everything that I watched. So
how do you guys feel about The Boys?
I like it. I like it a lot. I didn't read the comic book, so I don't know where it diverges. I mean, I do because I have a friend who will tell me some of the things, but you know, like for one thing, Stormfront is a guy. Did you read the comic books?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
But I'm really familiar with like DC.
Yeah.
And so it's like basically the DC Syndicate, which is Evil Superman, Evil Justice League.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So yeah. Like I've kind of been like, oh, it's same thing.
Well, I like it because it's anti-superhero. There's been so much superhero stuff produced over the last 10 to 15 years that it's nice to see something like that. What was that other one? Brightburn, that horror movie about an evil Superman. That was great, I thought. It's it's just the anti-heroes. And there was another show that I can't quite recall right this second, but I like that. I like turning it on its side and showing you that if you had absolute power like these people, you'd be a dick.
I'm having such a hard time watching it because I'm like, it bothers me so much that people like Homelander are like total assholes.
Right. But you'd have to expect that they would be, don't you think?
I mean, we're talking about responsibility here. Like, yeah. People need to start taking responsibility for their actions.
Yeah, okay. I think you give any human that kind of superpower and they're going to steal and they're going to just take advantage of people.
Look at that Spider-Man. Oh. He had somebody like Uncle Ben tell him, with great power comes great responsibility.
Right. In the real world, he would have went, yeah, okay, old man. And he would have went and fucking won that wrestling thing, kept all the money and let the guy get away. I mean, maybe you have short-term anger, but I mean, if you have all those powers that Spider-Man has, tell me you're not going to be creeping into people's windows and watching them fuck.
See, I would hope that I'd be doing the right thing.
Am I the only one that wouldn't be doing that? I would. I'm being honest.
Like, I would hope that, like, if I was somebody like Wolverine and the government wiped my memory and made me a killing machine and then I was coming to terms with that years later,
yeah,
that I'd do the right thing. I'd still probably cut people into pieces, at least hopefully bad people.
I do fun bar pranks, like I'd say, I bet you I can chop my dick off and it'll grow back in 10 minutes.
like the guy that like the what's his name, the chameleon or gecko?
Yeah,
the gecko. Yeah, there was that guy doing that at the hotel.
Yeah. Extra $1,000, I can cut my dick off.
that's right. Yeah, yeah. He was a chameleon. No, what was he? He was a
gecko.
Yeah.
But like, I just have like, so by that rationale, like what I want to see is like, which is what I'm seeing, which is like the boys are the supervillains.
Yeah.
But they're really not the supervillains.
Right. They're put in that position to be supervillains and aiding the terrorists. They're using shit off the headlines from today, but they do it in a way that it's not too in your face or annoying, to say the least. Some people are heavy-handed with it. They're not heavy-handed with it, so I kind of agree. Yeah.
But like, I really like the Butcher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that dude.
Cunt.
I'm a Huey Cunt. Fan.
Yeah, I like him too. He really looks like his dad too, doesn't he?
Who's his dad? Because I've been looking at him being like, this guy looks so familiar. What do I know him from?
Jeff.
Dad's Dennis Quaid.
Yeah, and his uncle is Randy Quaid. Shitter's full.
What?
Yeah. I bet he didn't hang out with his uncle very much in the hotel room screaming about Trump.
Yeah, well, he better be careful because the Star Killers will come after him.
Star Killers are coming after you.
I worked with Dennis Quaid on Footloose.
Oh, okay. He was in that? I never saw
it. Yeah, he was. Oh, thanks a lot, Tim.
To be fair, I've only seen the original halfway through.
All right. Well, then I'll accept that because I thought the original was. I should just keep my mouth shut.
It had a great soundtrack, but I never bought the fact that this kid out of the city just had to fucking dance. I just never like. Okay, you're a dude. All right. Anyway.
Yeah. So I met Dennis Quaid at like the read through.
He's a nice guy, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a really nice guy. He was like, he was smoking one of those like blue cig e-cigs.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, he's the only one that can make e-cigarettes look cool.
Not true. Who's the first guy to smoke them?
Who was that? The spokesman for
Dorf.
Steven Dorf. I love Steven Dorf.
Yeah, he had the blue. Yeah, man, when I'm in a place where I can't smoke, I got the blue cigarette.
Yeah. He was in Blade. Remember,
he was great in Blade. Blade is such really ridiculously great movie. I met Dennis Quaid when there was a movie that came out in 2009, maybe, or 2010, called The Express. Is about this football player named Ernie Davis, who was actually from the town in which I was born, Elmira, New York, where my dad lived. And this kid was a fantastic football player, and he got drafted by the Browns or something. He went to Syracuse, and this is in the 60s or 50s or whatever. And I think he was the first African-American to win the Heisman Trophy Award. And then he got cancer while he was in college or started playing football. Anyway, they made the movie about him. I went and we interviewed him, me and Southside Steve. Really nice guy. Really nice guy. They didn't shoot any of the movie in Elmira because, well, Elmira is really ugly. So, yeah. I mean, that's all I got for this week, Jeff. If you don't have anything else, Josh, do you got it?
We've had Twitter for a while, and I just started tweeting on it. I don't really understand the Twitter, but if you guys want to follow us at Action Show Studs, that would be amazing. Retweet all that type of stuff. Check us out on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Action Show Studios.
Right on. Hey, guys, Radio Labyrinth is brought to you by sponsors. I'm going to record this right now. Atlanta Pizza and Euro, open for dine-in services. Atlanta Pizza and Euro sanitizes tables between customers and provides single-use condiments if you want some. AP&G has delicious takeout or curbside service for those who prefer it, and you don't have to pay ahead of time. Visit their website, atlantapizzaeuro.com, to order online or pickup or delivery. And remember, they thank everybody who's been supportive through these tough times for the restaurant industry. So support your local restaurants. And if you've been to Atlanta Pizza in Euro, please, please, please leave them a review on Google. And let's not forget our friend Brett Perkins and his business LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They have all your construction printing needs, commercial or residential, in Athens, Georgia since 2005 with fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com. I can't do it anymore. So until next week, thank you very much for being with us, Josh. Remember to keep it
canon. Keep it canon.
And now we give a shout out to the rest of the donors. Aaron Roberts, Alan Barker, Amber Gilpatrick, Andrew Harbin, Andrew Malazzi, Brian Jackson, Brian Nix, Buck Monterey, Chris Cosentino, Dave Benson, Denise Reynolds, Gwyn Ketchum, Herb Lamb, Jeff Peterson, Jeremy Turman, Jesse Rosinski, Mark Weiland, Randy Reeves, Robert Kearns, Kevin Stokes, Wayne Blair, Ashley Rose, Chris Knight, JW, Kevin Schwartz, Lou Caniglio, Mary Fouquet, Ryan Wilson, Sam Wells, Walt Murray, Bradley A. Schumpert, Brandon C. Pilcher, Dustin Lawler, Jason Heft, Nick Starks, Trent, Wendy Muller, Andrew Hopkins, David C. Funk, Lauren Calderman, Robert Haley, Robert Calderman, Sherry Dougherty, and Tim Slayton. Thank you all very much.
We very much appreciate it. And thank you for sticking with us for so very long and all year in this crazy 2020 in which we live. Radio Labyrinth is recorded in front of a live studio audience. Well, four of us, occasionally three, sometimes four, sometimes three, and is produced by you. For a complete list of Radio Labyrinth's awesome Patreon sponsors, just look at the show notes. Our intro theme was produced and performed by John Mark Lindell. Keep it canon.